This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We'll work Tracy Chapman and Nicki Minaj into a business program here. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. The hit social media company TikTok wants to go with the big U.S. database company Oracle. The Trump administration had ordered ByteDance of China to sell off its U.S. TikTok operations amid worry about the privacy of all the user data it collects when it feeds its customized stream of short videos. Now, this is something less than a sale, more of a partnership. Molly Wood is host of our Marketplace Tech program.
The business rationale for this is really about data. We know that TikTok has a lot of data about its users. That's partly what had the U.S. government so worried in the first place. And Oracle has been trying to build an ad targeting business. According to Yahoo Finance, co-founder Larry Ellison has actually bragged that only Facebook has a bigger collection of consumer data than Oracle. Oracle also has a big, robust cloud services division and infrastructure. So it could basically offer advertisers sort of soup-to-nuts service, great ad targeting, a platform to run those ads on, and a guarantee of TikTok's performance on the back end.
Molly Wood there. Oracle stock is up 4.3% in early trading. Was paused for a moment as we wait some news on this. Microsoft and Walmart were among the other companies interested in doing something with TikTok North America. We're waiting to see if this partnership arrangement is a big enough divestiture for the Trump administration. Molly reminded me that Oracle CEO Larry Ellison is tight with the Trump administration, which could help. President Trump has just signed an executive order aimed at lowering drug prices for Medicare in a way that rankles pharmaceutical companies. It is not clear, however, when the order actually takes effect. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
The executive order would link U.S. drug prices to the cost of the same drugs in other developed nations with a gross domestic product that's similar to ours. Other countries negotiate most favored nation prices with U.S. drug makers. The executive order says Medicare shouldn't pay more than that price. It would apply to Medicare Part B, medications given in doctor's offices or hospitals, and Part D, drugs bought directly by seniors. The executive order does not allow the federal government to do its own negotiating for drug prices with pharmaceutical companies, and it won't take effect immediately. It'll take months for the Department of Health and Human Services to come up with rules to implement the program, and drug companies are very unhappy with the executive order and are likely to challenge it in court. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
AstraZeneca has now resumed its interrupted late-stage human testing of its coronavirus vaccine after checking why one test subject developed a medical problem. And rival Pfizer's CEO is saying it's possible that vaccine distribution starts by year's end. Investors seem inclined to take on more risk through stocks. And in early trading, we find the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 281 points, 1%. The S&P is up 1.3%. The NASDAQ Composite Index is also up about 1.4%. I mentioned Pfizer, its stock up 1.2%. Gilead Sciences is spending $21 billion to buy Immunomedics, which is strong in cancer drugs, including one that uses antibodies to deal with advanced triple-negative breast cancer.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
I promise some music here. You remember Fast Car Tracy Chapman? Now, she's suing Nicki Minaj for using part of one of her songs. The case has the potential to upend the way that music is written and how artists borrow from one another. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has the story.
This is Tracy Chapman's song, Baby, Can I Hold You?
All that you can say.
This is Nicki Minaj's song, Sorry.
All that you can say.
Obviously, Minaj did use Chapman's song. Nobody disputes that. Minaj and her people asked Chapman for permission during and after production of Sorry, and Chapman and her reps said no, multiple times, actually. So Minaj didn't release the song, at least not on her 2018 album.
What complicates this in this case is there was further redistribution.
Eugene Volokh is a professor at UCLA School of Law. The unauthorized song got out. Chapman's attorneys say Nicki Minaj leaked it to a New York DJ, Funkmaster Flex, who then played it. Minaj's attorneys dispute that. Either way, it got on the air and then on the internet. And Chapman sued, saying Minaj shouldn't have been allowed to make the unauthorized song in the first place, even as a demo. Minaj's attorneys say, yes, Minaj was allowed to create the song under an exception to copyright law known as fair use. That is a key point of disagreement in the case. Again, Professor Volokh.
The relatively novel legal question here is whether it is a fair use for somebody to make copies of someone else's work in order to send it to the author and say, look, listen to it. Isn't it great? Wouldn't you license this to me?
That's actually how things often work now. Artists create something with somebody else's work and then run it by the original artist for permission afterward. Sean Bradford is an artist who's done covers of well-known songs.
Yeah, it's definitely you do it and then you think if it's cool or not. I mean, like the creative process is all about trial and error.
Pete Ross is one of Nicki Minaj's attorneys.
Can you imagine what the world would look like if every artist who goes into the studio has to get a license merely to experiment with someone's music? The world would be a poorer place.
John Gatti is one of Tracy Chapman's attorneys, and he says copyright law is not here for the people who want to do the copying. It's here to protect the original creators.
Tracy Chapman has the absolute right to control how her intellectual property is performed and presented and exploited in the marketplace. Ms. Minaj's position is turning well-established copyright law on its head and doing a 180.
Gatti says experimentation is not covered by fair use. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Checking the NASDAQ one more time, it is up 200 points, 1.9%. I am David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.